This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a networking festival of weekend fun that celebrates women, an iconic musical about the survival of the human spirit, or a heavenly harp extravaganza, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Louisiana is known for great festivals, and a new one is gaining traction in the Crescent City. It's billed as the perfect women's weekend, a getaway to the heart of the French Quarter. Yes, the fourth annual Festigals kicks off this week. Its theme, it's all about you. And joining me now is Festigals founder Diane Lyons and Festi Diva Sandra D'Artes. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Diane. We're thrilled to be here and talking about our favorite topic, women in the French Quarter and Festigals.
Each year, Festigals gets better and better, which begs the question, what will you do this year to trump last year's festivities?
You know, it gets harder every year because we surprise ourselves and we look at each other and say, we're not going to do this again because we can't do it better next year. And then we do. So we're really excited about adding our branding U Day this year, which is a big focus on personal and professional development for women.
Branding U is about reinventing yourself, improving your brand, working on you, and it's all about you. So it's a bunch of seminars all day long. It starts at 7:30 in the morning with breakfast. It includes lunch with Tori Johnson, who is the queen of remaking herself, with a book called Five Steps for Creating a Better, Happier, Healthier You.
It's the shift. She basically saw that she needed to make some changes in her life, and so she shifted the way she ate, the way she thinks, the way she did things, and it's just transformed her life, and she's sharing that with the women at lunch. And then we have some seminars in the afternoon. So it's seminars in the morning. We have Lisa Parnes in the morning starting our day, and she is one of the co-authors of the latest book about Hillary Clinton, sort of an insider's look at Hillary.
We've added also a stiletto sprint on Saturday evening, which will be a dash through the French Quarter, two blocks long in 3-inch heels, before our second line parade of women called the Stiletto Stroll.
It's open to boys and girls.
So we get a little eye candy. It'll be lots of fun.
How did this festival start and what made you give it a go?
You know, I'm an event planner. I have a company called Accent on Arrangements. I've been planning and producing events for over 30 years in New Orleans, and I felt that we as women needed something to celebrate our last 10 years. From Katrina on, we've really worked to put our city back together, and we're the backbone and the glue that has kept our city together. It's the women. And we don't take time to celebrate us. You know, we take care of everyone, our families, our daughters, our mothers, our children, our husbands, our businesses, but we do not take time for us. And Festigals is all about celebrating women and the courage and the persistence that we've had to rebuild our city and to show everyone else in the country what a fabulous city New Orleans is.
Now, the signature event is something you call bodacious bras, and it elevates this lingerie item to an artistic level. What are some of the surprises we'll see on this unique canvas?
Well, I think the biggest surprise that just arrived yesterday was one of our local artists, Lisa Victoria, who does a lot of metal sculptures with angels and angel wings. She created this magnificent black bra that's covered with the wings of angels on the cups, and then rhinestone studded, and then the little band that fits across the breast has a topaz.
It has a blue topaz in it, a London blue. It's gorgeous. And it's gold leaf. It's very heavy, but it fits Sandra really well. So it can be worn. And I think that people buy the art because it is art. A lot of people put it on their walls. We've had doctors hang it in their offices, you know, an OB doc, a surgeon. They're gorgeous pieces of art. We have one this year by the B-52s. We have one called Superwoman. Everybody's bidding on it. We have a carousel bar. And, you know, the cool thing about the bra art, too, is that they're stuffing them with things. Like, if you buy the carousel bar bra, it comes with a weekend at the Monteleone Hotel. So it's a very valuable bra. It's not only gorgeous art, but it's got great things stuffed in it.
Also, people in New Orleans will remember the crew of Shangri-La. And the woman who created that, Mary Catherine Lenatra Tusa, is our fundraising chair for the Bodacious Bras for a Cause. And so she took the bra that was given to her and turned it into, with the help of some girlfriends, because it's all about girlfriends for Festigals, turned it into a fabulous sort of Brazilian feather thing with a huge headdress. So whoever
and
gets
now
that.
And now a fan.
And now a fan. She bought a fan yesterday. So whoever buys that is going to be ready for Mardi Gras, ready for...
It's unbelievable. We have so many gorgeous pieces of art. There are 30 of them this year.
And these are all going to be auctioned off?
You can also bid online for the Bodacious Bras. It ends tonight at 6. But then we also can call in. If you can't make the luncheon, which we hope you can call us at Festigals, and we will do a bid for you, like at a real auction, you know, like at one of the auction houses.
Also, the bras will be on display in the Royal A through D ballrooms, just inside the parking garage area from the Motleon, all day Thursday, June 19th. Mm-hmm. So people who come into the hotel can see the bras and make a bid on them then if they'd like. And 100% of the money from the bra sales goes directly to the Cancer Association of Greater New Orleans to provide wigs and prosthesis and nausea meds and things that are meaningful to women who are suffering from cancer.
So this is our big give back. It's our signature event for the weekend.
And for those of people who follow the Sweet Potato Queen from Jackson, Mississippi, she will be our speaker at this luncheon. So it's going to be about as bodacious as you can get.
I don't know if you've ever seen her, but you know, she's very over-accentuated in all areas. And she has 10 best-selling novels out there about women and relationships. And so she'll be signing books. But Jill Connor Brown is really the Sweet Potato Queen, and she will be our highlighted speaker.
And you have other artistic offerings during this weekend getaway?
Well, you know, everyone loves Becky Allen, Harry Marone, and Chris Weickland, and they do something called Hot Stuff, which is a fabulous show. A little naughty, little bawdy, little fun, something you can only do in New Orleans because we can laugh at ourselves and be yatty and show part of our culture. So it's a really fun show. It's at Antoine's. And Mike McKenzie, who is a former saint, makes mimosas made with Moscato for our Saints and Sinners morning.
How about that?
It's such a fun weekend. We hope that everybody makes time for themselves, comes downtown to New Orleans.
Yeah.
This weekend, you can come for an hour, you can come for the day, or check in and stay for the weekend. We'd love to see you at Festigals. So, Diane, we hope you join us.
My goodness, you leave no stone unturned. What are you going to do to attract more gals next year?
Oh, wow. We have so many dreams. The vision is big. The footprint is big. You know, we have a lot of moving parts, and we love, love, love this weekend. It's so important for me as a meeting and event planner to give back to our city and to enhance what is already here for women to enjoy our city and come downtown, understand what's going on in our city. You know, as I said, you get a great weekend with other women.
Festigals founder Diane Lyons and Festi Diva Sandra D'Artes.
It is always a pleasure, and I hope that you and all of our listeners will come out this weekend and join us. It's going to be a great time. And again, you can do it for an hour, a day, or the whole weekend.
Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks.
Festigals runs June 19th through 22nd. More info at festigals.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. An iconic musical sets the stage of offerings for Summer Lyric Theater's 47th season at Tulane University. Les Misérables, set in 19th century France, is an uplifting story about the survival of the human spirit. The production, based on the novel by Victor Hugo, is the world's longest-running musical, and it now comes to regional theaters. Joining me to talk about this epic work is Summer Lyric Theater's artistic director, Michael Howard, and actor Jason Dowies, who is making his debut with Summer Lyric Theater. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
You must be very excited by this production. How did it come to Summer Lyric?
I'm absolutely so excited. When I saw this production 25 years ago for the first time in New York, I thought because of the musical content and the way it was staged and everything, I thought, wow, Summer Lyric could do this, thinking that within 3 or 4 years I could get the rights. Well, lo and behold, it ran for 25 years, and we kept asking for the rights. And a few years ago, they started selling the rights, a version for high school students, believe it or not, but still not a regional. We had sent our application, everything, over and over again. And Charlie called me one morning at home, 8 o'clock, and said, I just got a notice they released the rights. I said, we'll get them right now. So we did. It was a musical that I always wanted to do. It has a lot of musical demands, a lot of technical demands, which I think we can meet. We found our own way to present it. And vocally, it must have 30 solo lines in it, you know, so you can't have a weak link. It's different in its approach in the fact that it's all sung, no speaking whatsoever. I've been very excited, but just a little on edge because it's so large and it's different than anything we've done. But the rehearsals from the first night, I forget, these students, this was written before they were born. They've grown up on it. They knew it. They know the words of every character, the singing. The only thing they had to do was learn the music and the staging, you know, the rhythms and their pitches and whatever. So the first night, by the end of 2 hours, it was the most terrific sound you've ever heard. No body mics, no nothing, just this huge sound from the chorus. Wonderful.
Wow.
So I'm very excited.
Now let's get into the story itself. What does the phrase mean, Les Miserables?
The miserable. This is the French Revolution, the young people's uprising in the 19th century, 1810, I believe it starts. It really concentrates on one man's life through this revolution, Valjean, that Jason is playing here, which is a very demanding singing, acting role. And life as he experiences and sees it and gives and receives. And it's a beautiful story in that sense that because his life is changed, he tries to change the life of Fantine, a local factory worker who sells her hair for her little child, who sells her teeth. Can you imagine? Who sells her locket, everything she has, for this child who was born out of wedlock. We see that happening today. You know, we see it on the news all the time. But he tries to give her a second chance. And he takes this little girl of hers after she dies. She dies very young. And he raises this little girl. And he's constantly on the run by this sinister character. He's kind of like Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't think he's a bad man. But it's just like in politics we see today, I relate it. You know, he has this thing about Valjean must be brought to justice. For what reason? For stealing a loaf of bread. He spent all these years in prison. He spent all these years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread for a child who was starving. And this man pursues him relentlessly. The law pursues him no matter how much good he does. That they go after him. We find out that it's his own weakness, like it is with many people, you know. And it is so touching to see the villain of the story stand there and see his own sin. And that he has unfortunately wasted his life pursuing a man who has forgiven him and released him, who could have killed him easily. Killed him easily on many occasions. He lets him go. So it's like dark, it's good against evil, you know. And even though the evil has what he thinks is good intentions, like we do today with our law and with our Congress and whatever that we disagree with, he pursues this man and finally commits suicide. I think that's an important part of the story. Some people, I think, do that today. I think they always will. Some people who are absolutely, they absolutely will not change. You know, whether they be prejudiced, discriminate, one way or the other, you know. So I think there's a valuable lesson to be learned from this show. And I think that's why, and I'm so thrilled that's why it is so popular. Yeah. You know.
Now, Jason, you play this central character, Jean Valjean, and you're making your debut with Summer Lyric Theater. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you'll bring to the role of Jean Valjean, which you have performed before.
I have performed before. I performed it last year at Theater Baton Rouge. We had a great time doing Les Mis, but this is a completely different show. It's a completely different process. It's a beautiful message. I'm privileged and honored to be able to play this role again. Twice in 1 year is too much for a boy to even ask for.
Yours is a complicated character. Did you find that you were somehow changed by the role?
I identify with this role on a few different levels. He's always got the best of intent. He always has the best of intentions, especially when it comes to that little girl. And I have a little girl. Now, she's not so little anymore. She's almost looking eye to eye with me now at 14 years of age. But when it comes to her, I believe my intentions are always true. And so I really do identify with him in a lot of aspects. He's a good man. He's a really good man. He's faced with some difficult decisions along the way.
What are some of the classic songs that you perform?
Bring Him Home. It's a beautiful prayer, sort of a lullaby as well. When Valjean realizes who Marius is on the barricade during this revolution, he sends a prayer up to bring him home, bring him through this. He realizes how important that little boy is to his little girl, that he's not going to live forever, and somebody has to look after her. And this boy is made up of the right stuff.
This one is going to pull at the heartstrings of audiences. What is the message in this modern day that it will leave with them? Will they be changed in the end?
I don't know that everybody will be changed, but I think they'll be reminded, which we have to be constantly reminded, to be kind and loving and accepting and not quite so judgmental.
Michael Howard, Artistic Director with Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane, and actor Jason Dowies. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
God on high, hear my prayer in my need.
Performances of Summer Lyric Theater's Les Miserables run Thursday through Sunday in Tulane University's Dixon Hall. More info at summerlyric.tulane.edu. Harp Carnival is the theme of the 41st National Conference of the American Harp Society, being held in New Orleans. Beginning Sunday, harpists from the southern region and beyond will converge on the French Quarter in celebration of a diverse harp community. Joining me now is harpist and convention co-host Ivory McCann. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The harp is such a beautiful instrument, and musicians are in town to give a variety of harps a workout. Tell us what's on tap.
Oh my goodness, we have a little bit of everything for everyone. If you want jazz, we have jazz. If you want lever harps, we got lever harps. If you want concert pedal harps, we have pedal harps. We have shows in the St. Louis Cathedral. We have second line parades from that cathedral back to our hotel room. We have an entire jazz night, incorporating different jazz artists from all over the world. Our grand finale, the last day, is a group harp ensemble where we hope to have hundreds of harpists.
And who are the harpists that are in town for this convention?
We have Park Stickney, who hails from Switzerland, coming in. He's an amazing jazz kind of avant-garde artist. We have Carol Robbins, who's another jazz artist. She's internationally acclaimed. Deborah Henson Conant, which is a personal friend of mine. She's a world electric harpist. She's going to be performing her own concerto. Actually, she's not performing it. The grand thing is she's doing something completely new. She's having internationally renowned artist Ellie Turner is coming in to perform her concerto as a soloist, and Deborah Henson Conant is actually conducting. She'll be conducting her own concerto, which will kind of be a world premiere for that. No one else has ever done that before.
So tell us, what is it that attracts people to the sound of the harp?
I would like to think it's its timelessness. Since the beginning, harps have been injected in history. You know, you see models of harps in ancient Egypt, stone carvings and ivory carvings of harpists. Its timelessness goes through the ages of its kind of antiquity as well as elevated, whereas everybody thinks harp, angels.
Yeah, it's a heavenly sound.
It is. And then people, they're just illuminated by the sounds, the percussive sounds, the majesty of the tones of the harp are kind of like a siren's call to most people. They're just drawn to it, not just because of the sound, but by the way it looks. They just want to go, oh, and touch it, or just in awe. Everyone's in awe of the harpist.
And what is it that we are likely to learn about the harp that we might not know?
We're going to have historical workshops. We're going to have technique workshops, improvisation workshops. So if you're interested in learning how the harps function through the ages versus how they function contemporarily, we're going to have presentations on technique, theory, composition, everything that goes into how to play the harp as well as how to understand it better.
And I understand that you will be performing in concert with internationally acclaimed harpist and composer Diana Rowan.
I will.
Tell us about Diana and what you will perform.
Diana is a personal friend and mentor of mine. She is an amazing person. She goes out of her way for anybody willing to accept harp into their life. And through that, she has evolved herself into some sort of mystical icon. Her music is just uplifting, soulful, magical, illuminating, and it will draw you in. But what people like Diane and I do is that we kind of draw in feelings, emotions, and experiences from that which is around us and from the cosmos, drawing in this energy to help project and share with our audience.
Harpist Ivory McCann will perform in concert with internationally acclaimed harpist and composer Diana Rowan on Monday at 9 a.m. in the ballroom of the Astor Crown Plaza Hotel, 739 Canal Street. Harp Carnival, the 41st National Conference of the American Harp Society, runs Sunday, June 22nd through Thursday, June 26th. More info at ahsconference.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.